Coming up in a few minutes, I'll have Jen Julius, and she is a health and lifestyle consultant. Jen works on vision boards. Oh, yes, One Vision by Queen. That brings us back to my first guest, Jen Julius. Hi, Jen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, welcome, welcome to Cows. And Bossy and Bessie, say hello.
Hey, girl.
Well, welcome, and thank you so much for coming in out to Occidental here.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a beautiful drive, too. Thank you.
Health and lifestyle consultant. Interesting title.
Scary, too.
It covers a lot of things, though, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And that's actually partially why I chose that as my title. You know, I wanted to be welcoming and encompassing because a lot of my philosophy is big and broad and all about balance. So I didn't really want to put myself and polarize myself more so with a title that maybe scared people away. You know, and didn't really encompass all the different things that I believe in and I'm about. You know, I definitely have a lot of different facets to my personality, that's for sure.
Okay, well, we'll definitely probe them. Well, yeah, let's go back to your background. I know you have, various qualifications, things you've worked on. Now, tell us about that first.
Absolutely. Well, I guess I'll start with what I consider the boring part, although some might argue, but the boring part is what I consider the paper part. So that would be my degrees. I have a bachelor's in psychology from Sonoma State. Great program. It has a humanistic focus, and I just really appreciated it. It was right up my alley for all the awesome, cool, as I say, hippy-dippy stuff that I'm into, right, that I love so much. And then I actually went into the master's in counseling program at Sonoma State, and then also completed my school counseling credential at Sonoma State as well. And then recently also obtained my holistic life coach certification. So those are my paper qualifications. And then
Could you explain what holistic life coach is compared to, say, a life coach?
That is such a great question. For me, I really, really, really believe in the concept of balance in all aspects. And I really believe in, as so many people know about, especially in Sonoma County, the concept of the mind-body-spirit connection. And with holistic, what that represents for me is that we're looking at the mind, the body, and the spirit system as all equally important to our health and to our well-being. And that means an imbalance in any of those areas will create imbalance in all of them. And I really believe that disease is just that, dis-ease. And when we're imbalanced in our spiritual practice or in our emotional well-being, it's going to affect our physical health, period.
Interesting. Even spiritual practice, that's interesting, even to look at that side of it would create disease within us.
I really think it does. I really think, and that tends to also be the area that I think can be a little bit more controversial. You know, what is a spiritual practice? And does that mean I have to identify with a very clear, strict religion? And my answer would be no, not necessarily. But then it would also be yes, perhaps, if it works for you. For me, I mean, I think that a spiritual practice could be as much as devoting 15 minutes of sacred time in the mornings to go sit in your yard, be in nature, and drink tea or coffee, and just really listen to what's around you and be in tune with your body and your spirit, you know, because we are connected to the earth and we are connected to the world. And for me, that's a spiritual practice. Right. And for some people, it might be doing something that they're completely passionate about and in alignment with. You know, my partner's a race car driver. So for him, part of his practice, I think, is being able to completely get in alignment with that drive and that passion, you know. And I think that's a spiritual practice in a way, is being in alignment with something that we're incredibly passionate about and really fills us up.
Being one with it. Is
exactly.
Is somehow that phrase,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's about alignment. You know, it's about being in alignment, whatever that means, perhaps.
Right. And as you were saying, well, we'll get to that, but it's different for everybody. There's no one answer.
Absolutely.
That's the key.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so what, maybe you can give us a bit about your background. What drew you to this type of work?
Oh, what a fun question. Yeah. Okay, so I start off with what I said, the boring paperwork. But then I really see it. There's two different elements, I think, that really have created me to be who I am now, which would be my work experience, which I think has been incredibly helpful in getting me to the point that I am now, but also my personal experience. Work experience-wise, I've been working, golly gee, with youth on probation and in the social service field and with severe mental health issues and addiction issues for years, probably about 5 or 6 at this point, doing groups, doing in-home work. I was running a program for a while with juvenile probation, doing in-home family coaching with parents and youth on probation. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Could connect to those kids.
Yeah. So that's it. Yeah. That's it. I mean, that's a tough thing to just to connect with. I mean, you've got to, it's not something, oh, I think I'll do that. I mean, you really want to want to do
that. Well, and some people do say, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. And then they go, oops.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so totally loved that. And then it moved and did a lot more intense mental health work with youth. Youth on probation in the social service field, in foster care from adoptions. And our goal with the most recent agency that I had worked for was to keep the youth placed in the home and try to keep them from going to a group home. It was a wraparound service. And that was also very intense and very amazing. And I also was doing aggression replacement training groups for youth on probation, you know, and
that's interesting. Aggressive. I hadn't heard that term of aggressive.
Aggression replacement training.
Yeah,
it's actually a newer program that's getting really well recognized in across the country right now, I believe. Yeah, it's a great evidence-based program that involves a lot of role-playing and skill-building and moral reasoning. Those are the different components of it. So that was a lot of fun, especially because I get so angry. No, just kidding. But I mean, it's a beautiful program because it allows the kids to be real and use real situations and practice how to control them and respond to them differently. You know, so that all my experience in my work experience has really been a huge blessing for me to get me to the point that I'm at now, because I've been able to work with some of the hardest populations in our county, you know, and I feel very grateful for that. And I only say hard because they've had a lot of hardship. You know, they're not hard to me. Right. I absolutely loved working with them, you know, but and like, for example, I'm also currently a consultant in San Quentin.
Yeah. We'll definitely want to talk about that.
And so that just is, and that's one of my funnest, most enjoyable, easy times of the month, you know, when I go down there.
Goodness.
Yeah, goodness. Yeah, see what I mean? I'm on the outskirts.
You've thrown me,
Yeah, so.
But that's, yeah, what's that phrase? Nothing is, somebody told me that phrase the other day, nothing is a struggle, it is all a celebration.
Oh, yeah.
It just depends how you look at it.
Which is a perfect segue into the third part of, I think, my experience. And that'd be my personal experience. And people sometimes look at me when I present it because of the language I use, but I really consider myself blessed to come from a family that is riddled with addiction. You know, I mean, there's very few people in my immediate and extended family that haven't battled or are still part of or have passed away from some form of addiction. And that includes myself. You know, me and my partner are both recovering addicts. I was abusing diet pills really severely throughout high school and into my early 20s that turned into also using Vicodin pretty severely. I was blessed with that. Oh my gosh, I got to figure something out because my body is not doing well. You know,
was there a one epiphanal moment?
Oh yeah, there definitely was. Basically, I mean, it got to the point one day where my heart rate wouldn't drop below 100. You know, and I had this pounding headache and my body was just responding so intensely to show me that this wasn't okay anymore, you know, and I went to bed that night and I actually prayed and I did the bartering thing that sometimes people do. And I just said, God, if you let me wake up in the morning, I'll stop. And I woke up and I stopped. I called my mom actually for accountability because I was also battling a really severe eating disorder. I was bulimic. And so I called my mom and said, hey, mom, guess what? And she said, I was kind of worried that might be true, but I was too scared to approach you because I was not fun to be around. I was mean, you know, I was really deep in my addiction. Yeah. And when we're deep in addiction, we're not really seeing the world clearly and we're not relating to the most important people in our lives very well either. So I called her for that accountability and found out that she'd actually been through really similar struggles at the exact same age as me. And that actually really helped to solidify that we have these patterns in our ancestry that sometimes I believe we follow without even knowing that they had existed.
Right.
And then
right.
part of our journey is perhaps to change the game or create a new path or change what our ancestral pattern will be for the future generations. And so after having that accountability, I just made that shift and said, you know what? It's time to change. I was actually living in San Diego at the time, and I moved back to Sonoma County and finished up my bachelor's and just went full throttle ahead, worked, went to school full time and jammed, and was just super grateful that I was able to get my crap together at such a young age. I was only 20 at the time, and I'd already, been in addiction and had an eating disorder for 4 years.
Oh my goodness.
So
you were busy.
Yeah, I was busy. And I say that I was blessed, because I really feel like hardship is what really helps to form our character in the most beautiful way, if we're willing to allow it.
Yeah, exactly. And to step back from it and look at it from without, isn't it? And seeing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then the more research I did on, okay, so what's up with addiction? What's up with eating disorders? What's that about? Well, primary component with eating disorders, it's about control.
Mm.
It's about feeling so out of control of your life that the one thing you feel in control of is what goes in and out of your body. And after just doing so much, I always call myself my own guinea pig. I never recommend that my clients do anything I haven't. And if I'm going to, I'm like, hold on, let me try it first. don't do it yet.
Oh, you do half of this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me know how it goes, because you're actually the guinea pig. And that's the thing, is just really exploring and understanding my behaviors and my actions, and also being in a lot of emotionally abusive relationships and figuring out what's that about. Why am I choosing people that either I want to fix,
right.
that I know aren't good for me, or that are making me feel even worse about myself than I already do? Because that's usually another component that goes with addiction and eating disorders, is you're probably not feeling that great about yourself and that confident in who you are in the world. And so I guess just, I think that that's actually the part that I put the most weight on from my experience, is what I've been able to go through and overcome and understand the strength of the human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that would tie back into what I believe in as spirituality, having those reckonings, those, like you asked, what was the last thing that happened? Well, I had a pretty big spiritual awakening, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to figure it out, or are you going to go on a bad path fast?
Right.
So.
Well, thank goodness you had that line you could stop at. I mean, so many don't. There isn't. It is just not there. So, and it's wonderful that you are using what you've learned to give back and try and create that line for people, really, isn't it? Give them some place to bounce from.
Thank you for saying that, first of all. And that would be my hope.
Hmm.
I feel like that's part of my role, is to be a role model in a way, to show people that recovery is possible. Change is possible. I'm definitely not the same person I was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Right.
A lot of my character is the same. I'm still wild, crazy, and fun and a little wacky, but things change and people can change if we choose to.
Right.
And if we keep showing up.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Getting there every day.
And knowing that we're worth it, because that's the other biggest thing, is am I worth showing up for? Am I worth doing the work for?
Well, and that's where often it all comes down to, that empowerment, that self thing, isn't it? Are we worthy?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, oh, my gosh. Yeah. I can't tell you how that is probably the hugest theme for a lot of especially women, I feel like, in our society, especially some of the women that I've worked with privately. It's, am I worth getting my nails done?
Mm.
Am I worth getting a massage? And although it might not be looked at in that lingo, in a lot of ways it is. Am I worth taking care of myself? Because often we're always taking care of everyone else.
Right.
And not understanding that if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of anyone else, period.
Exactly.
And ooh, heavy stuff fast. Wow.
Fabulous.
We're getting right into it.
Indeed. We're speaking to Jen Julius, and she is... we haven't even got to the health and lifestyle consultant bit yet. We just had some good juicy bits so far. But let's just talk about a health and lifestyle consultant. Now, that can mean many things in terms of you do it in many ways, in terms of individuals, in workshops. You have different levels of how you work, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty much at this point, what I'm primarily doing is leading vision board workshops for groups of 4 to 8 people. And I lead those workshops, I would say, in a kind of unique fashion.
Hmm.
Sometimes people go, well, aren't we just going to like glue a bunch of pictures to a board and like sit around and, you know, cut up magazines and then glue them? And I say, that would be more like a collage, in my opinion, you know. But what we're going to do in my workshop is create a vision board. So the way that I lead the workshops is to really help people connect to both their conscious and unconscious desires, which I actually find to be really powerful in the creation of my boards. And it's usually the things that I'm unconsciously drawn to. And what I mean by that is allowing the images to call me rather than me saying, okay, I got to find a red car, or okay, I got to find a 2-story house because that's what I want to attract into my life and that's what I want to manifest. It's allowing the images to call me and then finding the symbolism and letting them manifest how they do. Because usually the unconscious ones tend to also manifest symbolically.
Right.
In my experience. Yeah, sometimes our subconscious mind is really drawn to really interesting things that is perhaps wanting to guide us in a certain direction that we're not even really aware of or letting ourselves be aware of.
Exactly. You know? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's actually one of the most interesting things in my workshop is it's actually very rare that, and I shouldn't laugh, but I think it's great because it tells me that people feel safe, but it's very rare that I don't at least have one or two participants crying in the workshop just because they're like, wow, I didn't realize that this is what my soul was being called to.
Right. Well, that's what I was wondering in terms of some people, you know, hold themselves very tight. How do you make them more open them so they can have that vision, that intuitiveness, let it be for them. So it's very hard for some.
I slap them a few times. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. See, that's what I meant. Watch out. I'm crazy. Thanks for asking that. No, I start off the group just with an introduction and really validate that emotions might arise. I also start off the group with a guided meditation and visualization to really help ground the energy in the group. And I actually ask permission most of the time, depending on the energy of the group, to connect somewhat energetically or intuitively to the participants. And that's actually the main way that I run the group is from an energetic standpoint. So I can really connect to what's going on with each participant, see where they're at, see how I can support them through the process and the journey. And that's honestly one of my, I guess I would say a skill set perhaps or a talent, but is to be able to connect energetically and intuitively to people and channel that and trust that. Because we're all intuitive. Right. It's not just some people. It's not just women's intuition. It's all people's intuition. You know, we're humans, and I really believe we're connected by that.
Definitely. And say the small group you have, do they work together as well as individually looking at the board?
Great question. So the way it starts is we'll do a guided meditation, and then I'll actually require the group to work in silence for about 20 to 30 minutes after the meditation to try and stay in a meditative space. And then we'll just very quietly go through images, magazines, maybe perhaps people brought images of their own, and just allow ourselves to be drawn to things. And then we'll switch and we'll actually allow our conscious mind to start to step in. Say, okay, that's the time to find the red car or the 2-story house. And then just gather these images that have called to us, and then everyone will create their own individual board. And at the end, if they feel comfortable, they share with the group, and then I help to point out themes that I might see on the board, or I might help to interpret some of the images that had been symbolic for them, or maybe their unconscious mind had drawn them to that they're not really clear about. For example, that it makes me think of just one of my favorite clients. She was at my workshop and she had this image that was just, it totally didn't match anything else on her board. And she said, I don't know what this was about, but it was calling me. And I looked at it and it looked like it was this silhouette of a person sweeping through a sandstorm. And I said, I know exactly what that's representing. She said, what? I said, you're trying to get rid of the bullshit in my language, but that's exactly what it was. And she said, you know what? That is what it is. I'm trying to clean up my life. I'm trying to get rid of the crap. I'm trying to move forward. And so sometimes these images call us, because symbolism is so important to the human spirit, I believe.
Totally.
You know, just like music is so important, it fills us up in such a unique way. You know, talking to people fills us up in such a unique way. I believe that images and symbolism and art, visual art, are the same.
Oh, I think so. They strike a deep, deep chord.
Yeah. And so then I'll end the workshop with teaching some skills around and tools around how to use the board, I'd say. I'm talking with my hands a lot and I realize no one can see me except you. You guys can't see all the cool hand gestures I use.
So that people take the board home and then they can look at it or work or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And just really use it and use it to meditate on, to feel as if it already is. You know, that's how we manifest things, is by getting on the vibrational level as if it already exists.
So to keep it there, keep in that place there where they move themselves.
Yeah. Well, and also to feel as if they already have what's on their board.
Mm.
You know, for example, if maybe perhaps to use a material item as an example, if it was perhaps a new car, let's say, to really, and this example is used actually in The Secret, which is where I've gotten a lot of my inspiration from, the movie The Secret. The old version, not the new one, for anyone that knows there's two versions.
Okay.
That to really feel what it's like to be in a new car, what would it feel like to really be sitting in that seat, to hold that steering wheel, to feel the engine roaring, be connect yourself to that feeling, because as you connect to the feeling is already having it, is it already being as if it already is, then that's going to help you to get on the level to perhaps open up the universe's doors to give you opportunities to achieve the things that you're wanting to manifest.
And so, yeah, so you work with groups, but then you do work with individuals as well.
Yeah,
so
which is...
That's a different process?
Oh, then? Way different. Yeah. Actually, and all of my current clients have actually come from, almost all of my current clients have actually done a vision board workshop and gotten to know me and my style. Mm. And my individual coaching, I guess you would say, is around the concepts of health, balance, and communication, and understanding how to create balance for ourselves, because that actually is a pretty loaded question. I've realized what the $1 million question is. I don't know if I should share it, but I will, because I like Cows Radio so much. But the biggest question right now is, what makes you happy?
Mm.
And I can't tell you the blank stares that I get when I ask that question.
Mm.
And I think that it's due to our society and our culture. You know, what makes us happy? I don't know. I got to go see what makes us happy on the TV. Apparently the new iPhone's going to make me happy. That's what they told me. And it's not necessarily our faults. You know, it's not, I wouldn't put any blame on my clients for not being sure. But the thing is if we don't know what makes us happy, how are we going to create happiness for ourselves?
Right.
And that's really where I come from, is we create our lives and our experiences, and we choose how we interpret situations and things that might happen in our lives. So when I talk about balance and health being created from balance in the emotional, spiritual, and physical realms, that's what I try to support people with, is how can you take care of yourself in all aspects?
Mm-hmm.
So you're really achieving optimal health. You know, because you can work out and eat right all day, but if you are miserable, hate your job, hate your relationship, don't have any friends, I'll tell you what, you're going to have some health problems, physical health problems even, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. And so really helping people understand, especially women primarily is who I've been working with the most, is really helping women understand also how taking care of themselves really, really affects the overall well-being of their partners and their families. And our communities, for that matter, then.
Yes.
As women, we really bring this unique kind of life force.
Yeah, you hold it all together.
I don't know if I do. But, you know, and I really, that's where I try to encourage women so much, to really just take care of themselves and find out how to, though, because that's the tricky part. And then normalizing that, no, not everyone should be vegan and do Bikram yoga 7 times a week. And really understanding the concept of balance, you know, what makes your body feel good? What type of exercise? What type of food is important for you to nourish yourself with? And what social experiences are important? If you want to go out with your girls on a Friday night and have a glass of wine, do it.
Right.
You know, if that's going to fill you up emotionally and spiritually, because you're being nurtured by other human spirits, that's what's important.
Mm.
That's creating balance. That's understanding how to fill yourself up so you can naturally overflow and give that overflow to others.
Yeah, very good point. Because we are pulled to that darker side, really, the way the world is. And, and to be able to, I'm definitely of that mind to, you know, I mean, things are tough, but it doesn't mean you can't still be happy or have fun, you know, with it. I mean, that's the
thing.
And
I am all about having fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm so goofy and silly, you know, because we have to have fun. We have to laugh at ourselves, and we have to laugh at some of the craziness of our world sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
There's always going to be things bringing you down during the day. And the important part is knowing how to lift yourself back up, because you're probably going to have 3 to 10 crappy things happen in a day. You know, someone's going to be rude to you. Someone's going to maybe flip you off while you're driving down the freeway.
Right.
Someone's maybe going to give you a dirty look. You need to know what to access within yourself, or even outside, if you have what beautiful resources in your family or friends, or maybe even pictures I sometimes encourage people to use, to get yourself back up to a positive vibrational state, a positive state of being. Because if we're living in a constant negative state, what fun is that?
Yeah.
You know, not very fun. So
it doesn't look good at all.
And that connects to, you know, also my other main part with my work that I do with individuals, which is communication in all components, you know, the way that we talk to ourselves, because we are our biggest critics. We're always the hardest on ourselves. Right. You know, we're the, have that little voice telling me how ugly I am or how fat I am or how dumb I am, you know, and understanding how to change that voice because we can.
How, yeah. So do you speak to that voice in people? How do you directly?
Oh, I get down.
Are they pretty sneaky?
Oh, yeah. I get down with that voice. I beat it up sometimes. But no, yeah, exactly. No, I do. And I encourage my clients to have affirmations, you know, positive affirmations that challenge those self-limiting beliefs, you know, and really allowing that affirmation to start shifting the way that our brain is working, the way that our brain is attacking us sometimes and attacking our spirits, and knowing how to work with our thoughts, because our thoughts are not always our own.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we have thoughts that linger in our heads that we think are our own, that are really perhaps from a parent, from our childhood, you know, or a peer from second grade who was really mean to us. And we just, for some reason, it stayed in our psyche and keeps attacking us over and over again.
So much of that.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I was reading the study and people tend to remember criticisms far longer and far more intensely than compliments. And I feel like, I don't remember what the exact numbers were, but for some reason, 10 to 1 is the number that comes up. You know, it almost takes 10 positive compliments or comments to cancel out one negative one, just because for some reason, how strong it hits our psyche.
Yeah, you know, so sensitive to that.
Yeah. And so that's where I'll encourage my clients sometimes to have a really strong affirmation and say it multiple times a day and say it out loud. So you hear it both out loud and you hear it within your mind and you're speaking it, you're using different senses, you know, to write it, to have it in front of them visually. And really use that to help shift their inner talk. And then with other communication that I work on is helping them to communicate better interpersonally, whether it's with coworkers, bosses, partners, children. You know, I've done so much work with families that I really enjoy helping people to understand how to communicate more effectively with others so they can really improve their relationships, which really improves their health.
Right. It all comes back around to that, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. I mean, there's been so many studies done on the wonderful, I have such a soft spot for the elderly. Like my favorite, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world is my grandma, and she's 82 and she's just a firecracker. And she definitely encompasses the philosophy of what keeps you going is your friends, you know, is your social circle, is your connection to people, to humans, to other spirits that are walking around the world.
Good inspiration for you.
Yeah. It's true. You know, we are connected and I really believe that. And I just, I encourage people to just allow that, to allow themselves to connect to other people and to be genuine and to share happy thoughts and feelings and spread the love.
Yeah. Not hold it in. What are you keeping it for? Saving it for?
Yeah, exactly.
But now, you know, I know you really get down to the nitty gritty when it seems, when it gets down to individuals. I mean, even down to what they're buying, even, you know, just how the whole really nitty gritty lifestyle. That's interesting. How does that work when you go into somebody's life like that?
That's a hard one to answer, just because all my work with clients is so individualized. I can honestly say I'm not doing the same thing with any of my clients.
Right.
A lot, the main theme actually is communication and self-care, of course, but everyone has a story. You know, that's what I believe. We all have stories.
Right.
And how are we going to learn from those? You know, move forward from those stories? What are we going to learn and just embrace? That's one of my big things is embracing knowledge and creating balance.
Yeah.
You know, that concept and phrase. And so to go into someone's life and perhaps look at the different elements, and it depends. It depends on what's affecting them. Is finances their biggest concern and worry? Okay, so let's look at that. And what does money mean to you? If money is this big concern, perhaps, yet one of the ways that you cope with stress is perhaps by spending hundreds of dollars at the mall every week, then how do we maybe shift that coping skill to something different?
Right.
So you're now saving hundreds of dollars a week. Because no, and that happens. Yep. Sometimes it's interesting how we perpetuate these vicious cycles without even perhaps realizing it or knowing it or knowing there's other options.
Right.
And that's, I think, what I would say. That would be an example of maybe what I do is I help provide options. If you want to do the work, if you want to move forward and learn some stuff to just improve your life, your happiness, your health, your overall well-being and the well-being of your family, let's get down. Let's do some work, because I'm going to be real with people and I'm going to call them on stuff and I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah. You don't make it easy for them. You're not just placating them or working within their comfort zone.
Yeah, definitely not.
It's not
definitely, I definitely don't think that any of my clients would say that our meetings are usually easy breezy. That's for sure. But I mean, I try to keep them fun. You know, I think humor is really important to well-being. But I think my role is to challenge, you know, is to really say, are you, for example, let's say that maybe they're really hung up on something from their past. Absolutely understand. There's still things in my past that I'm working with and dealing with. But to say, okay, I see this as an issue. Are you going to hang on to it and wallow in it forever? Or are you going to choose to learn something from it? Choose to gain strength from it and move forward that much stronger, that much wiser. So that's kind of where I come in and I get real with people. I actually screen my clients pretty well because I'm very aware that not everyone is going to mesh with my personality, nor should they. That's why we are so blessed to have so many different types of life coaches or consultants or even therapists. All these different ways that we have all these healers and helpers in our world. And I think that we're so fortunate for that because not one person is going to be a match for everyone. And I definitely know that I'm not. I'm really honest about that is I want to work with people who want to do the work. I've worked with court ordered people, probation ordered people for years, loved it, but I'm ready to now work with people who want to do the work.
Who are more self-motivated.
A lot of my clients had a lot of motivation, you know, especially the kids that want to get off probation so they can get back to what they want to do. Just with adults that are ready to say, you know what, I want change. I'm ready to do the work and I'm ready to commit to moving forward in my life.
You got some workshops coming up.
I have a public workshop on March 10th. That one's actually almost full because I only allow about 8 people max to my public workshops. But I have 2 spots left. So that'll be March 10th from 1 to 5 p.m. in Santa Rosa. But then I also am really excited because I'm going to be doing some community work. I'm going to be helping host coffee talks at Coffee Cats in Sebastopol.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Debbie's so great. Oh, my goodness. Debbie and Kelly are amazing. So I'm going to be getting to help host that. And I'm actually going to be the opening speaker on Wednesday, this Wednesday. Wow. The 6th. And so usually coffee talk is from 7 to 9, but we're doing a special 3-hour workshop from 7 to 10. And it's going to be a condensed vision board workshop. So it's open to the public. I definitely recommend people RSVP. Absolutely.
Yes.
And it's donations only $5 to $15 at the door. So usually public workshops run around $39 to $45. So definitely a good deal.
Yeah.
And definitely, I think it's going to be so beautiful doing it at Coffee Cats and in the community setting. I'm just so excited to share. And it's going to be awesome.
That does sound fun. It's a nice series coming up.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Coffee Talks is such a great series. And it's going to be all about, you know, the theme this year is living a life of inspiration, living from inspiration. Mm. And that's I think one of my biggest passions is inspiring people, you know, inspiring that change, inspiring that click.
Yes.
And just helping people to feel inspired within themselves with what they want to do, what they want to be.
So
I just realized I should probably let people know where to RSVP.
Yes, please.
TotalHealth@JenJuliusConsulting.com. You can email me there. My website is JenJuliusConsulting.com. Please check it out. RSVP to one of the upcoming workshops or just I do free consultations. Let me know what you're interested in or what you want to hear more about. And I'm definitely always willing to meet with people and talk and share. Sharing is caring, right?
Yes.
Don't we learn that in kindergarten? Yeah. So thanks so much for having me, Arnold. I really appreciate it.
A total pleasure, Jen. I really appreciate you coming. Great work you're doing at all levels. Fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you.
Keep it up.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jen. And I'm going to go out with another appropriate one. I'm going to live the life I sing about. By Danny Kalb.
I'm going to live sing about in my song. I'm gonna stand for right and always shun